Good morning to everyone who's here this morning. I'll ask you that as you have your Bibles turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would like to put a marker there for just a moment, and please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in just a few moments. Acts chapter 2. I hope that everyone here this morning has had a great worship service as I have this morning. I just really appreciate and want to say to everyone, I appreciate so much the teens that we have in our class and their willingness to want to study the Bible and talk out things of the Bible and make sure that they understand what it is that we're doing is not because of tradition or habit or of our parents, but that it's because we want to follow the New Testament. And I just appreciate them so much. And I appreciate the teachers that helped me in that class. And I hope that you had a good study this morning as I did. It's so encouraging. A weekend for me that was a little long, a little sad at times. But coming together with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ just makes me forget about everything. Such a wonderful opportunity that we need to not take for granted that we have to come here. I appreciate everyone that's here this morning. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about your response to the cross. Your response to the cross. We read a wonderful verse this morning of partaking of the Lord's Supper that talked to us about what Jesus did for us. We read a physical account of what Jesus did for us. We saw in our Scripture this morning that Jesus' side was pierced with a sword. But this morning, that's not exactly what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about something further than just the physical aspects of the cross. If you're like me, I'm more of a visual learner. So I need, from time to time, to open up to the New Testament Scriptures, just as we did with Brother Chuck this morning, to remember the physical aspect that Jesus suffered physical pain for me, for you, for every one of us. But I think that we are missing something. We are missing something as Christians if we only look at the physical side of what Jesus did for us. He did so much more. Not to take anything away from ever preaching a sermon, teaching a lesson, or in your personal Bible study, sitting down and reading the physical aspects of what Jesus did for you. A lot of preachers I've talked to, and there's a big discussion on, should we preach a sermon that talks about the blood, talks about the pain? Some don't feel that we should bring that up. I think we should bring it up. I think we should look at both sides. The New Testament Scriptures show us the pain that Jesus went through, and I think it's there to teach us, to remind us, and to cut us to our heart to make sure that we understand what was done for us. But again, this morning, it's not just about the physical aspect. We need to take it a step further. This morning, I want to talk about our response. In other words, I want to talk about our actions to when we think about the cross, especially during the Lord's Supper. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Acts chapter 2, 22 and 24. I come with this lesson this morning with these thoughts because of these words in the New Testament. Every time that the disciples preached Jesus, they didn't always talk about the blood on the cross. They just simply stated what happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up. They didn't talk about it. This is a sermon, a lesson to those. He doesn't go into great detail here in this account. It's just simply, you've crucified him. You've put him to death. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. Again, the same thought. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Do we see here that it's not always about the physical aspect? That what is said here is, you simply murdered Him by hanging Him on a tree, and here's why He had to do this: to give you repentance, to give you forgiveness. We need to have a response further than just thinking about the physical pain. It should be more than just thinking about it and feeling bad about ourselves because we're sinners. We should see the next step, and we should have a reaction to the cross more than just the physical. One more verse, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Again, the disciples were seeing here that not to take away that we should focus on what was done, but I want us to see it's more than that. Acts 13, verses 28 through 30. "And though they found no cause for death in Him, they asked Pilate that He should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning Him, they took Him down from the tree, laid Him in a tomb. God raised Him from the dead." We need to understand that the cross, what Jesus did for us, His sacrifice for us, it is important for us to be cut to the heart by thinking about the physical pain He went through for us. But if we stop there and we don't do anything about it, if we don't think about our reaction further than just thinking about that pain and that blood, well, then we haven't done everything we're supposed to do as Christians. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want to look in Scripture with you this morning, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in reminding us of the memorial that we just took. We just broke the bread, took the cup, and we remember Jesus' sacrifice. I want us to understand this morning that we need to have a response to these things more than just going through emotion, thinking of it as just a simple act of worship, a habit. This morning, first I want us to understand that we need to think of the Lord's Supper. When we take it, we need to understand that it is a proclamation of the Lord's death. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, we see, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." There are very specific reasons that we take the Lord's Supper. Please, this morning, if you take nothing more, do not think of this memorial that we just took as a habit. Please do not think of it as a check mark. Okay, I've done that part of service. Now let's have a prayer or a song or a sermon and great, I'm done this Sunday until the next. Don't think of it like that. There needs to be a mental response to it. Why are we instructed to remember to proclaim the Lord's death? Well, I'll submit two reasons for you this morning. The first one is proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. It's a living proclamation to ourselves. To ourselves. And so many Scriptures in the Bible, I believe, are so straightforward, maybe that we don't think them through. We just look at them as words on a page. We just look at it as an instruction, a demand, a command, and we may follow it, but it's hard to understand everything. It's hard to understand how we can apply that to our everyday life. I love that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It's such a tangible way. Again, I'm a visual person, a tangible person. Maybe you're not, but the reason I love it is a living, a breathing reminder of what Jesus Christ did for me so that I could have my sins blotted out. Why do we proclaim the Lord's death as is instructed, as we read earlier through our Bible reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? To proclaim the Lord's death to yourself. To yourself, to remind yourself as you take it, Jesus died for me. I'm supposed to remember that He died for me. It's not just something that I do out of habit. But it's not only just for ourselves. It is a tangible reminder to ourselves, but that's not all. It's also a living sermon for those around us. Why do we proclaim the Lord's death? First, to remind ourselves of a tangible way, every first day of the week, of what the Lord did for us. But think of it as a living sermon. To me, it's so much better than anything I could ever come up with to hopefully encourage you on the first day of the week through a sermon. I can do nothing. I don't think any preacher can do anything that would be close to what this reminds us of. It reminds us of what the Lord did, but think of what it does to everybody around you. Think about those younger, those that aren't Christians yet. When they see you take the Lord's Supper, you need to explain to them why you're doing it. You're proclaiming the Lord's death. You're teaching them a living sermon. You're showing them what Jesus Christ, and that you're going to remember it as instructed on every first day of the week. Think about those that might be in our assemblies on any time we come together. On the first day of the week when we're taking the Lord's Supper, think of someone who's not a Christian but interested in God. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're showing them that Jesus Christ died for you, died for them. It's like a living sermon to all those around us. We need to proclaim the Lord's death. Again, I encourage you, as you take of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, please don't just do it out of habit without thinking anything. We're supposed to have a response to the Lord. It's not just something we do very quickly as we're thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon, what we're going to do the next day. Stop all of your thoughts that have anything to do with the world and think solely on your response to the Lord. Think about what was done for you and make sure there is a response to that. Not just a simple habit that we do on every first day of the week. And in my lesson this morning, I want to take these points with you and encourage you to see what our response needs to be when partaking of the Lord's Supper. But also want to take at the very end of each point, and I want to make a comparison for our everyday lives. If partaking of the Lord's Supper, if partaking of the bread and of the cup is proclaiming the Lord's death, then what about our daily decisions? What are our daily decisions proclaiming? When we take the cup, take the bread, we're telling everybody around us that we're Christians and we're remembering Jesus Christ died for our sins. What are your daily decisions showing everybody around you? Are the decisions that you're making, are they proclaiming the Lord's death to everybody around you? We need to think about this. We need to think it's not just about the first day of the week. It's about every day. It's about, as being a Christian, we need to do things that are showing everybody around us, I am a saved Christian, I love the Lord, and just by my actions, you should be able to see that. What are you proclaiming with your daily actions? What kind of living proclamation are we making to ourselves first? We talked about that the proclaiming the Lord's Supper, the death, is about us personally first and foremost. For us to think about what was done for us, make it personal in your everyday decisions. Block out everybody else. Don't think about what other people necessarily think about you, what you can do to make them happy. Think about yourself. Think about, if I do this, am I going to be proclaiming that I'm a Christian? That the Lord died for me? Or am I showing other people that I'm only a Christian certain days? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything you do, everything we do every single day needs to be in a way that proclaims the Lord's death. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just ask you this morning to reflect. Make sure that the decisions, the actions you are taking during the week proclaim the Lord's death. What about those around you? What about those around you? Proclaiming the Lord's death is also for showing everybody around you that you're a Christian. The Lord died for you. What about your everyday decisions? Are they making you happy? Are you happy with where you're at in your relationship to God? Furthermore, are you showing other people around you that you're a Christian? Matthew chapter 5, if you would like to read along with me. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. 13 through 16. Jesus speaks to us on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus plainly lays out what He expects from us as Christians. He doesn't say this is something you might want to try to do if you believe in me. It's a command. This is what you're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, talking about you believer, you Christian, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Again, to you believer in me, you Christian saved by my blood, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. When you're out in the world during the week, live in such a way that everything you do proclaims that the Lord died for you and you've been saved by His blood and you're following Him in your daily life. The first thing I hope that we remember this morning, the next time we take the Lord's Supper, next Sunday, next first day of the week, please take a minute, clear your thoughts, and think about proclaiming the Lord's death to yourself, to your children, to those other Christians that are around you. Your response to the cross needs to be an action. That means we have to do something. Proclaim the Lord's death. Number two this morning, what is another reaction, response that we should have when we're taking the bread, taking the cup? Well, it's to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 28, it says, let a man examine himself. But why are we to examine ourselves? Why? Why do we have to think about ourselves when we're supposed to be thinking about Jesus and His death? Well, look with me in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do we understand that? If we're not thinking about our daily actions, this is a bold statement. This is what we are guilty of if we're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner and not thinking about our daily actions. It says that we are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Wow. That hits home. How many of us can take the Lord's Supper with kind of a habit almost? I'm not saying you want to on purpose, but it happens. Hey, I've got a child. I understand it's sometimes hard to focus on the Lord's death when I'm trying to take care of my child and do this and do that. And I know many of you have the same problems. But we have to try to do it the way that we're supposed to. These are commands in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says if we're not thinking through, if we're not examining ourselves, we're no better than that crowd that said, crucify Him, crucify Him. When we take of the Lord's Supper, clear your thoughts. Don't let it become a ritual, just something you check off the box. Make sure that you're examining yourself. While we eat and drink of the supper, we better be examining and testing ourselves. Most of our Bibles, most of our English Bibles say examining. But that word examining in the Greek means to test. That means that we are to reflect on our weekly actions. We're to think about what we're doing. That means we need to think about, are we making decisions every day that are proclaiming the Lord's death, that shows that I'm a Christian? I want to give you a few considerations of things to consider when you're taking of the Lord's Supper. We're supposed to examine ourselves, right? Here's just a few of things that I've thought of, and maybe you have some more. Here's just a few things to get your mind going in that right direction. Here's some things to consider while examining yourselves when taking of the Lord's Supper. First, what about examining our choices? Examining our choices. If you're like me, and you probably are because all humans are the same, how good are we at rationalizing our sins? Well, I know I didn't make God too happy with that decision this week, but it's not like I'm doing what brother so-and-so's doing. I mean, look at him. Don't rationalize your sins. A sin is a sin is a sin. When you're examining yourselves while you take the Lord's Supper, examine your choices. After you've examined your choices, if there are some things in your life that you know aren't pleasing to God, that's a time for repentance. When we take of the Lord's Supper, when we take of the bread, take of the cup, think of it as a time to examine yourself. And let that be a time to let yourself be cut to the heart. Be honest with God. Repent to Him. If there's something you've done that you need repent, you need forgiveness of, that's your time right there. You're already thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about your decisions, repentance. Next, if we've gone that far, continue to encourage you to examine yourself by remembering our pledge to Christ. We have a pledge to Christ. As Christians, as someone that He died for, we have a pledge. The day that you decide to become a Christian and turn your life over to God and were baptized, that's a pledge you made to Christ. Are you keeping that pledge? Or are some things in the world, your weekly work schedule, kids, whatever, are they taking precedence over God? That's the time. Think about the Lord's Supper. Think about the Lord's death. Renew your pledge to Christ. Renew your covenant relationship that you have with God. Sometimes we forget that being a Christian is not just some name that we wear. It's not just that we've been baptized. Do you understand? We understand what marriage is. A husband and a wife, and it's not to be separated. That is the same relationship we're supposed to have with God. Sometimes we don't think about it like that. But we are in a covenant relationship when we become saved, when we are baptized. That's a time to renew, to remind yourself, hey, I'm in a relationship, but how am I treating God? How am I living for Him this week? That's a time to examine yourselves. Also, that the breaking of bread and drinking of the fruit of the vine is a promise of Jesus' return. It's another great time, another opportunity when you're examining yourself. You get a little down, a lot of stress at work, a lot of sin in your life, and you wish it was free. Think about it. Repent. Renew your covenant relationship and remember that you're not just doing it for nothing. Remember that Jesus died, but He's coming again. It's a promise. It is a promise that Jesus Christ will return to gather His children and to take us to our eternal home in heaven in the glory of God. Examine yourself. One more personal note I'd like to add to this is that I can't remember if I read this somewhere, I was told this, but it's something I heard and I try to do it myself. If it helps somebody else, great, it helps me. When you pray, when you meditate, when you think during the Lord's Supper, try making it personal. Try using myself. Try using I's. Don't use generic phrases when you pray like, thank you, Father, for forgiveness of all of our sins. Thank you for coming for all of us. Make it personal. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving me. I'm not worthy. I'm a sinful person. Thank you for allowing me to have forgiveness of my sins. It helps me. If it does you, then I hope it will. But consider that. Make it personal. Make it about your salvation. Not a generic for everybody. Jesus Christ died for all, but remember, He died for you so that you could have a home in heaven. What about an everyday comparison, everyday instruction about examining ourselves? Well, I think it all needs to start in our everyday life. If we're going to examine ourselves, we better start with being humble. Christians far too often can get a mindset of, I deserve this, I deserve that. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I deserve my home in heaven. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not a single one of us deserve heaven. Not a single one of us deserve forgiveness of our sins. We are given that by Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Let us not rob ourselves of thinking of the big picture. We get caught up so much in our worldly things that we almost feel like we're entitled to be Christians. We're entitled to have forgiveness of sins. And no, we don't. No, we don't. Take the example of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Says, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ is God. But look what He did for you and me. He came to this earth. He humbled Himself. Could we do that? If we thought we were a little better than our neighbor, would we be able to say, I'm on their equal playing field? It's so hard for us to do that. We think that we're more important than other people. Nobody's more important than Jesus Christ. And look what He did. He emptied Himself of everything. Didn't think He was anything better, even though He was. He humbled Himself and came and did what none of us probably would have done for another soul. He humbled Himself. May we be humble as well. Let us not dare to forget to examine ourselves in the Lord's Supper and examine ourselves every day. May that start with being humble. Third this morning, a third instruction, a third response we need to have to the cross as we partake of the Lord's Supper is we are to discern the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Let me give you a quick little disclosure before we conclude our lesson and our third point this morning. The Lord's body there. There is some debate, and certainly some of you are aware of this. And I know Brother Lloyd would certainly be mindful of this, that when it says the Lord's body, there is some discussion on what that means, as the original text is a little vague. Some scholars believe that discerning the Lord's body means the physical body of Jesus Christ, while others say that the original text means discerning the Lord's body as in the church, the saved. I'll tell you this morning, it does not matter which one of those is true, your response is the same. Whether you're thinking about the Lord's body up on the cross or you're thinking about every one of us that are saved, your response should be the same. You need to discern the Lord's body. What does discern mean? Do we use that every day? I certainly don't. So let's look at what Vine's Dictionary says. In response to describe discern, it says, "With reference to partaking of the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper unworthily by not discerning or discriminating what they represent." When we're talking about discerning the Lord's body, that means that you're to think about what it represents. Good from bad, right from wrong. When you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, you're to discern. Decide what Jesus' body means to you as a Christian who's been saved by His blood. This morning, if you get nothing else from our time together in the Word of God, please take this. Please take these last few words. Please do not go through it as a habit. Please do not just break the bread, drink the cup, and think, okay, next. Take it in a worthy manner. Think about what is going on. Proclaim the Lord's death with the way you take it. Examine yourself when you take it. Discern what His body means to you as a Christian. Verse 29 reminds us that if our response is one of just habit, guess what we've just done? If we've just done it without thinking any mental thought, any response to the cross, then we've just ate and drank judgment to ourselves. We're no better than all those, again, that said, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." We need to have a response that thinks through these things, understands, appreciate what Jesus has done for us. What about an everyday comparison to close this morning? When we take the Lord's Supper, we are told to think about, discern what Jesus' body means, as opposed to everything else in the world. And we all need to discern what we represent to the world as Christians. What do you discern? What does your life mean to everybody around you? It should mean what Matthew said earlier, that you are a light to all the world. Your decisions, your conduct shows the world that you're a Christian. That's what we need to represent. But what do we represent? What are our actions showing the world around us? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Meekness and fear. When you take the Lord's Supper, please think about what Jesus' body represents to you and think about every day the actions that you show everybody else helps them discern what a true Christian is. Think through that. Your response to the cross. This morning, I pray that your response to the cross will be one of action. I pray that it will be one that says, when I take the Lord's Supper, I'm going to think about what Jesus has done for me. You know what? I haven't thought about it in a while. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to look at those commands, and I'm going to do that from now on. I'm going to proclaim the Lord's death in the way I take it. I'm going to think about Jesus, not just the blood, not just the physical pain, but that He expects something from us after. He expects obedience. He expects us to understand what was done on the cross, but then respond in a way that proclaims the Lord's death. We examine ourselves, repent, renew our covenant relationship with Him, and then we discern what it means to us and what we mean to the world as Christians. This morning, if you're not yet a child of God, what is your response to the cross? You know Jesus Christ is the Savior that died for you. Have you responded the way God wants? Have you obeyed the New Testament teaching that says how to be saved from your sins because of this sacrifice? You repent away from sin in your life. You decide to live for Jesus. You allow baptism, the immersion into water, to forgive you of your sins. If we can help you with that this morning, please let us help you. You're not a burden. You're not taking up any time. We want to help you get things right with God this morning. If you're a child of God and maybe you've just not had a proper response, I encourage you, from now on, when you take the Lord's Supper, don't do it out of habit. Have a proper response the way Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we can help you with any spiritual need, please let us help you right now as we stand and as we sing.